How do people just turn off everything that's in their head and really dive into this teaching and to receive the fall feast, the prophetic word for that?
Let me know what's wrong, repent of it, and I'll fix it. I'll give you 10 days of information to know how to change your habits and pattern, and then it is sealed on Yom Kippur, because this is about a blood covenant of redemption, Yom Kippur.
All right, so Rabbi, let's jump straight into this episode. We're kind of in a really unique time period. We're actually in between the week of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And so my question to really get this conversation started off is, what is something that Christians, people listening, people watching to this episode, what can they gain in this week that's like right in between for the fall feast?
Well, Daryl, this, for me personally, this is probably the most important spiritual week in the biblical calendar, because let's just break it down like this. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. It's a new year. And the head of the year means that there is a trumpet blast and there is an awakening that is taking place. Okay. So in the awakening that is taking place, it announces judgment. But the judgment isn't final. Okay. It's just announcing judgment. And then you have what they call the 10 days of awe. It's the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur in the Hebrew means atonement, the day of atonement. So what it does is it's a 10-day period really between judgment and mercy. So if you can look at the fall feast as trumpets is in a sounding blast of, let me know what's wrong, repent of it, and I'll fix it. I'll give you 10 days of information to know how to change your habits and pattern. And then it is sealed on Yom Kippur, because this is about a blood covenant of redemption, Yom Kippur. Then we go into Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a time of covenant abiding. So if you look at the three feasts, you have judgment, 10 days of examination, mercy on Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles is literally sealing the covenant relationship with God to be able to go forward for the whole next 365 days, that whole year. So this is that. That's why the fall feasts for me are absolutely so important. But the reason I wanted to bring this podcast to you is you're right before, if you're watching this when it's the first live, what you're watching is it's preparing you for Yom Kippur that's coming. That's what I want to talk about, is because in the next day or two, when deciding when they air this, you need to be prepared to receive the sealing of judgment, because judgment is the friend of those who desire right standing with God. So I kind of want to walk with you to talk to you about, how do we come out of agreement with sin, bad habits, generational curses, hexes and vexes, all those types of things, because this is the week where you basically you cut the chains with all the past sinful behavior so that you can go into Tabernacles and abide freely.
So loving this, I know people watching, people listening are now hooked and they're into the episode. My one thought before you really get in to lead us through this is, how do people just turn off everything that's in their head and what's going on in the world, the country, their personal lives, right? And really dive into this teaching and to receive the fall feast, the prophetic word for that. What's a little nugget that they can get at this point in the episode before we get too deep to just try to turn things off and really dive in deep with it?
They really need to practice his presence. One of the things that I would do in this time too is go and download our Goals to Grow, because in the Goals to Grow, there's five or six questions. And the questions are, like, basically, I don't have them in front of me, but basically what they say is, why do you think this way? And then what you do is you back it up with scripture so that you can make declarations and decrees. So to answer your question is, you need to get the Goals to Grow, and then write the questions down. Like, okay, why do you think this way? Why is this not working for you in your life? And what it does is it tells you to say, like, what do you need to change? What scripture you need to proclaim and decree? And then the closing prayer. So I really think that if you're going to change the way, if you're going to have a discipline, okay, if you're disciplined, you're going to prosper, okay? If you lack discipline, you're going to suffer. I think you almost kind of have to, you know, listen, everybody suffers in the world, but you're going to suffer less. If you have financial prosperity and health and good relationship with your family, you're going to have less trouble than if your health is bad, you're struggling financially, and you're having trouble with your relationships, your spouse and your family members. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you, after doing this for 35 years, if you will be a disciple of the Lord, and part of that is understanding the calendar, if you'll be disciplined, you will suffer less. If you lack discipline, you're going to suffer more. And so that's one of the reasons understanding the calendar and understanding this, the importance of this week, is a relationship issue between you and God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? It's about understanding that relationship. And you know, that's really the key. And this week is about there's a judgment that happens, whether you know that there's Rosh Hashanah or not. You know, there's going to be a blast out of heaven. There's judgment. And the key is you get 10 days to discover what's wrong with your life, repent of it, to get mercy on Yom Kippur.
Another question before you dive really in, which really good point about the goals to grow. One thing I kind of heard that you didn't say is habits and patterns. I mean, it feels like almost every episode we do, at some point we're kind of mentioning that, right? Because of how disciplined you have to be, how intentional you have to be with trying to get into the presence with God, right? And to create these patterns and these things that you actually do daily. So taking all of that, and now we're in this week, right? And I kind of view it as a very transitional type week if you're able to get your head right, to get your heart right. I think more importantly, probably really work on the ability, and it's something I struggle with, kind of keeping your mouth shut and opening your ears so then you can receive, right? Because wisdom is much best, you know, gained, at least I think, if you can learn to be silent and just absorb and take notes and just meditate on it.
Absolutely. And this would be a week to do that. And this would be a week where you're being intentional on your choices, your habits, patterns, and behavior. You have to be intentional. And I think we can talk about the intentionality of going into a deeper relationship, because let's look at it again. Rosh Hashanah is an awakening blast. It's the head of the year, and judgment comes. The judgment comes to remove over the next 10 days what you understand from sin, bad habits, and bad choices. It's sealed at Yom Kippur, but then what's Tabernacles about? It's a wedding feast. It's a covenant to where you have 7 weeks to renew your intimacy and your relationship with God. Okay. But what happens is you can't sit at the table with the Lord and have deep intimacy and relationship if you don't awaken, if you don't let the blood of Jesus and the forgiveness of sin happen, because you can't make it to, let's say, the table of the Lord if you're not willing to be cleansed first. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So let's say someone has joined us and watched, just joined us digitally for Rosh Hashanah, or maybe they joined us in person. As they're making this transition to be awakened, right, to receive what is about to come to them, jump in more about the mindset, because I just, I, I think as people get educated and they start learning their Jewish roots and why these feasts matter and like why you should dive into it and commit it to what you do in your life and your family, that there's a transitional type of point. So like speak to people that have joined us for the first one and now we're transitioning in there.
Okay, great. So here's, I'm going to break it down, then you can ask questions. But first of all, before you can perceive who you are in Christ, you have to perceive who God is as Father. Because that's the first step. You have to love, know, and trust Father God. And I think it's people have to understand it's a relationship. That's why the scripture says in Revelation, they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, which is the removal of sin. But then the word of their test, you have to have a testimony. You have to have a testimony. So let me talk to you about, can I talk to you about knowing the Father?
Yeah, okay. Let's do it.
Let me use an allegory. I like allegories. Okay. Okay, so you're watching me. Many of you have watched us for years, okay? Many of you have been to Passover from my house to your house. You've also been under the sukkah at my house, and you perceive what that looks like, okay? And what happens is it's building, I'm just using this as an allegory, okay? It's building a relationship with you to know who Christy and I are, who Pastor Tim and Sandy are, and different leadership people. You see Megan's podcast. And so the key is the more you get to know us, the more you're either going to trust us or not trust us. But what you're going to do is you're building a relationship through intimacy. The more that you attend a live stream or you come to House of David and have a feast and you're in the immersion pool with us, all those things, it helps you to understand what we're teaching and prophesying to you to the degree that you trust us, okay? Because you're building that relationship. But here's the key is there's different levels of intimacy, okay? And so I'm going to use this as an example because this just happened recently, okay? So it was my birthday, and my favorite birthday meal for me is a ribeye for the rabbi, okay? The only difference is I'm the one cooking the dinner. So what we do is I get these ribeyes, I get them 24 hours in advance, they marinate overnight, and I have special formula seasoning that I actually have produced myself. And then I also, we do my homemade spaghetti sauce. It's a Sicilian spaghetti sauce.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. So that's steak and spaghetti is like, this is it. Okay. So now you know this, you know, I mean, this is what, you know, if I was in prison and this was my last meal, it'd be steak and spaghetti. Okay. So anyway, I'm teasing, but my point is that you need to know what Father God likes. See, this, I'm not God. I'm just saying, here's the relationship. Okay. So now you know that about me, but the difference is obviously you weren't at my house in my dining room. So the dining room at our house, a very special place. It's just a dining room. That's all we do there is feast, special events, and we don't eat there on just randomly. We have a breakfast room. That dining room, when you go into that space, that is where we're having a special event, okay? So let's look at my grandchildren, okay? And I want you to put you into the grandchildren mindset, okay? So I've got 2, 4, and 8, and one coming. So we're having the birthday dinner. Okay, my grandchildren love what they call Saba steak and Saba spaghetti. No, I'm serious. It's like it's you know they.
I haven't had your steak, but the spaghetti is very good.
Yeah, they absolutely love it. You're gonna have to have the steak, slow cooked on a green egg. Okay, so the point is that the 8-year-old little girl, she wants to sit next to Nana. The four-year-old at every meal has to sit next to Saba, and if not, will cry or get angry with whoever. Joseph is going to sit next to Saba. That's what he does. Okay. So now you have Matthew, who's in a high chair. He's not too concerned like where he's going to sit. But there's the same behavior pattern with the 8-year-old, the 4-year-old, and now with the 2-year-old. And I'm going to explain it to you. There is a place where in the meal where Matthew, the 2-year-old, decides, he says, you know what? I don't want to eat in this high chair. I want to go sit in Saba's lap. So he takes his plate and Megan brings it over, puts it. How do we know this? Because the 8-year-old did it, the 4-year-old did it, and now it's time for the 2-year-old where he and then the adults that are visiting, he gets to sit in Saba's lap, and Saba actually, with his fork, feeds him the steak. Okay?
Okay.
No, yeah. This is
I'm tracking.
I'm just
tracking.
Giving you the real story. This is, but no one told the 2-year-old that the older sister and older brother did the same thing. There's something about in that festive feast of the birthday, being in the special room, the Lord prepared a table for you in the midst. There's something about that for Matthew and the other two, they didn't feel close enough. They want to actually sit in Saba's lap. And of course, I love it. And that's what they do. So he sits in my lap. I eat some of my steak. His steak's cut much smaller so he doesn't choke, and I'm putting it in his mouth. And but my point is that how close is that intimacy at that table? How close is that intimacy having Matthew sit on my lap? And it's funny because he'll sit on my lap and he'll literally do that. And then while he's chewing, he will bend his head over and rest his head on my chest. And so he can hear me chewing my food and he's just sitting there and he has no care about provision or whether the stock market or COVID. All he knows is that He is in a totally safe place. He doesn't have to worry about anything, which is absolutely true.
Well, I guess next to the father's heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the reason I tell this story, this is a fact, this is a true story. It's how my family functions, okay? So it's interesting that no one told him to come do that, but yet the other two did that. There's something in the spirit realm and the DNA in our family that's what they do. But there's something in you that if you can imagine, you can either, and I know you can't come to my house, I get that. This is just an allegory. So what happens is you can either watch the live stream, okay, or you can get an airline ticket and you can fly and come to House of David and physically be in the building. Or you can physically get into the immersion pool in the water. You see what I'm saying? Or you can physically come to House of David and be at a Passover table with about 400 people, which is really a small group, and we all break bread together. All of those things create a different level of experience for your soul, your mind, will, and emotion. Now, all that's great, but what Daryl's asking is, like, how do you remove the distractions of the world? What you do is anything that's a bad idea, the best way to change the habit and pattern? And I admit, I've been involved in the behavioral type business for, gosh, almost 50 years. And so I know how it works to a degree. And the key is this. If you have a bad idea, the best way to do it is quit trying to wrestle and stop yourself with the bad idea. Replace it with a better idea. And the better idea is this, it's that love and intimacy. Get out of the high chair, get your plate, put it into Saba's lap, sit on his lap and let him feed you and bless you and feel that love of that experience. You need to really have a Holy Spirit, Daryl, experience with God. And so, but that's a practice. You have to practice. One of the reasons I love the feast is for us as a ministry and a business and a family, we lay out the calendar. That's why we have our calendars that you can get from House of David, CLM. But we look at the calendar and we literally don't travel and don't, we live according to that calendar, because I basically look at the feast. Like right now we had Rosh Hashanah. Okay. And it's awakening for me to go, man, I need to self-examine. I know that when we get to Sukkoth, you know, it's 5785, two fives, double grace for opportunities. Listen, there is going to be more chaos in the end of 2024 with the election and then all that cause and effect after that, whether Trump wins or he doesn't, all those things. You have to decide that you're a citizen of the kingdom and that your intimacy with God determines your revelatory power, peace, and health and provision, doing it God's ways. So if there was ever a time to say, let's go into that fourth dimension and operate in God's kingdom principles, I think it would be now. But I think looking at that birthday table like that, there was one of the adults when at my birthday, when Matthew came over and did that, made the comment, and it's not about me, but it's about the symbolism of it. And this person's like in their 70s, and they said, you know, basically all of us want to be able to experience, like Matthew, the simplicity of the safety and the love and the comfort of somebody holding them and telling them it's going to be okay. That's why God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's why he sent Jesus. And so what I said earlier is Jesus saved us. Jesus is the high priest of our sanctuary, but we can't neglect the revelatory relationship with God the Father, because ultimately that relationship is what enhances the relationship with God the Son and the Holy Spirit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I think in the last few minutes of this podcast, when we have a couple more left, break down the difference in prayer when it's God the Father, Lord, Son, Jesus, right, Holy Spirit, as people are positioning themselves to get ready to receive the rest of the fall feast this week. Fundamentally, when they make those distinctions spiritually, when they pray, break that down for us.
Well, we pray in Jesus' name. But when Jesus said, how do we pray? He said, our Father. We're praying to the Father. Jesus in his ministry did nothing lest he saw his Father do it. So I've never really struggled between the spiritual relationship dynamic between God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So I was raised in parochial school. I went to Catholic school for 9 years. And so I had a certain amount of foundation of Trinity and all that understanding. My parents weren't active in the whole Catholic, you know, we weren't hyper-Catholic or anything. I went to the Catholic school because it was the best place to be educated in this part of Los Angeles where I live. So, but I think that in your mind, you have to realize that you can talk to the Father because of the price that that the Son paid. That's why we pray, Father God, I ask for healing now in Jesus' name. Why in Jesus' name? Who took the stripes? God didn't take the stripes on his back. Jesus did. So in Jesus' name, he took stripes on his back. Jesus died, rose again on the third day. Why? To expunge sin. The only way I can talk to the Father is because the blood of Jesus expunges my sin, so I can go into the spiritual Holy of Holies and talk to my Heavenly Father. Who created me? The Heavenly Father.
I guess let me word it this way. When scripture says Lord, right, and you see some red letters pop up, have you ever had to personally work through the difference relationally as you pray or meditate, or have you ever counseled or spoken with someone that was trying to figure out, you know, scripturally? Very clear, Jesus says, pray to the Father, right? But like, how would someone walk through, especially like in this appointed time that we're in, distinguish the fundamental difference in how do they build a relationship with Jesus through prayer type of thing? I mean, like, does that make sense? Or am I kind of just bouncing around?
Well, I don't know. I don't struggle with that.
Yeah.
So I've never struggled with the whole Trinity. In fact, in Hebrew, if you're Jewish and you're watching this and you're not saved, you know, one of the problems that Jews have with Christians, they're I can't say that word right now, but anyway, they believe in one God and they think that Trinity is three gods, but it's not, it's not three. It's the Trinity is in Hebrew is what they call Echad. Echad means three, but the same, three in one, like body, soul, and spirit. You're not three people. You're three in one. God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are three in one. So I've not struggled with that. So the best way I can answer this is that all authority is coming from the Father. All authority has been given to the Son, and the instruction of that authority has been given to the Holy Spirit. And so the relationship is, you have to understand, is that the Heavenly Father is the one who authorized you to have everything that you have. Jesus paid for everything that you have, and the Holy Spirit is there to lead you and instruct you in how to walk in everything that's been given to you.
How do you build your relationship with Jesus?
For me, it's loving on him, giving him praise, thanksgiving, being, most of all, being thankful. You know, just being so thankful. I think probably one of the unique things that our ministry has, and I know others have it, but I know it's for us. There's a huge difference in the mindset and the experience of Christy and I because of where we came from. I mean, we met, she was a cocktail waitress at Harris Casino, Lake Tahoe, and I was a valet and a chauffeur there. You know, I worked with Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., Don Rickles. I transported prostitutes from one location to people's rooms. You know, I mean, we come from the world at the most corrupt level. And everything that entails. Now, it's not something I'm not proud of, but the thing about it is when God does miracles through us, she and I both, we still weep and cry and are so thankful because we haven't forgotten where we came from. You know, we're like the Mary Magdalene. We're not the church people that came up through. I mean, I was raised in Los Angeles in the 60s, and with all the drug and alcohol and the summer of love and all the craziness of that. So, the fact that he saves us at 36 years old and then uses us powerfully, I have never in 35 years of being saved, there's never been one day that I'm not thankful and I'm not humbled that, as my dad, my biological father used to say, I'm in the club, that my name's in the book. So I think that's probably, and I don't attribute that to God. And I don't attribute that to the Holy Spirit. I am thankful to Jesus because he's the one that died for me. He's the one that shed blood. He's the one, when I got saved in the bathtub in Seattle, he's the one that showed up and said to me, he was the one that was speaking to me. And I had to say to him, I didn't mean to hurt you. And there's a very distinct relationship in the Trinity for me in my mindset on how I operate. There's reverential fear for the Heavenly Father. There's abundant mercy and grace and thanksgiving to Jesus. And there's a deep appreciation of joy with the Holy Spirit. But yet all of that can cross over. I've never had anybody ask me the question, but in my mind, in my head, it's three distinct things, the way I think. And I'll close with this example. Okay. I got a call this week and from a young man, And his wife is, she got sick. She died. They brought her back to life. All her organs are functioning. Her brains, there's no activity. So he calls, and I don't know him very well. I've only talked to him two or three times, but he said, I felt led to call you. And he said, would you pray for me and my wife? So I said, okay. So the way the prayer went, because this is such a high level, and this is a high level spiritual leader in the kingdom. And when I took it into the courts, I wasn't using my authority. I wasn't like using anything. What I did is I asked the Lord, I said, in Jesus' name, I need the Lord to rebuke this spirit of death. Father God, this is outside my pay grade, so to say. And so anyway, I just took the young man and we prayed, and we the decree was, and the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord. So I was going to my heavenly Father in Jesus' name, but in the courts, I was speaking directly to my Father. I said, listen, I'm transparent about this. The doctor says there's no hope. There's the situation. We got about 2 or 3 days and they're going to unplug this situation and she's going to pass. And she's a mother, you know, she's a leader in a large ministry and all this stuff. And but that's, we went into the courts and it was really a different type of prayer. But he asked me and I said, okay, let's go into the courts. And when I got in there, all of my conversation was directed at God, the Father, the creator on the throne in the court, and said, we need you to rebuke and pass judgment on this death and remove it in the name of Jesus. So that was a real different type of prayer versus, like, I don't normally pray for sick people like that, but this was such a, this whole thing, you know, she's in her 40s. This whole thing is such a demonic attack. It has nothing to do with, like, she was sick and got, this is a demonic attack of the spirit of death trying to take out a Christian leader in a ministry. And so I just said, Father God, you know, and that's where I went with it. So there's really different, you know, you just have to, it's all based off your relationship. You know, I don't ask the Lord for favors very often. And I know that sounds ridiculous, but my relationship with God is very practical, like, you know, God, the person. And there's times when I have to just go to him and say, you know what? I'm not super spiritual. I just need a favor. Like with this, I need a favor. I need you to turn her brain on. She needs to live. You know, that's the prayer. I mean, it's like not, you know, I'm a courts of heaven guy, spiritual warfare, but this was like very relational. So I was feeling the pain of this young man and the fear of losing his wife. He's got kids at home, has a huge ministry with her together. This is a worldwide international ministry. It's like, man, the whole ministry is going to suffer and say, where's God in this? So I was, you know, now he came to me as like a spiritual father. I just said, listen, this is how we're going to pray. Now the prayer wasn't recorded and praise God. I mean, it actually was to pray for her. But the key was, is that it was relational to go to the Lord and cry out to the Lord for mercy. And that's the week we're in. The week we're in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is a week of mercy where it's better to cry out now spiritually and ask the Lord to forgive your sin, because the wages of sin is death. It's better to do it in this week than to wait for a crisis like what I just told you and then have to be on the defense. I think probably one of the reasons Christy and I at 70 and 50 years of marriage, that the reason we're still here and is one of the reasons is we are offensive, not defensive. We align and we stay alert with watchmen. And the key is to be offensive, stay out of the enemy's mouth, stay away from it versus letting him bite you and then have to pray and bind and cut him off. So, I mean, it's kind of like a mindset lifestyle of the Landrys of how we function. And, you know, 35 years of dealing with the nation of Israel, fulfilling Bible prophecy, being in direct partnership with the IDF, I mean, for all these years, we had to learn how to do warfare because, I mean, the enemy absolutely hates what this ministry does, standing with Israel. And I want to close with this. You know, when I speak to the soldiers, I always tell them, I said, you're like no other army on earth because you are actually the watchman. The battles you fight are fulfilling Bible prophecy. And that's different than most armies. I mean, some of the things that the U.S. does is fulfilling Bible prophecy. But in Israel, they are the promise in the land that's the promise. And their victories are coming from a God. And they are literally fighting battles that were prophesied. They're literally fighting battles that were prophesied literally from the Ancient of Days. They're fighting them in modern day times. And so when I encourage them, and when I do that, every time I've done that, these are tough guys and tough girls. And, you know, we were just recently there. When I do that, you'll look and probably half the room has tears running down their face. Because what's happening is the shame and guilt of them, you know, they're killing people all the time and they're in war. But the shame and guilt of all that for healthy people seems to lift off when you realize you have a purpose. And the key, I think I would like to close with this. You need to know your purpose with God. Because we're in a time of warfare and you need to fight. And one of the ways you fight is by following the calendars. And you've got a week right now, this Days of Awe. This is, you can Google kurtlandry.com or just Google this, Google 10 Days of Awe, Kurt Landry, and a blog will come up that I wrote on this. And, you know, it will really help you to understand the opportunity of mercy and grace and repentance this week like no other time in the calendar.
Wow. What a good episode, Rabbi. You know, it doesn't matter how you're getting this podcast, this show. We just want to thank you. If you're getting this on Facebook, Rumble, YouTube, just make sure to hit subscribe. You know, our mission, our dedication to you is that you're going to get daily and weekly spiritual content that Rabbi Kurt and the entire team is very passionate about getting this content, this teaching out to you every single day and every week. So if you're on YouTube, just go ahead and hit that subscribe button. It's free, and you'll get that. If you're on Rumble, make sure to hit subscribe, hit follow as well. And Rabbi, let's close with this. Tell everyone about your YouTube membership, your monthly membership.
Well, I want to thank you for subscribing. Looks like we're almost at 100,000. And so that little click gives you bells and announcements of when special stuff comes up. We want to thank you. But the membership for $2.99 a month is really important because it allows me to give, I pray for a specific word. I ask the Lord, what is the prophetic word for you for this week? And it's amazing how the Lord will give me words just for you. And the key is that if you're in anticipation, you're spending time in the Word, you're praying, your devotionals, you're worshiping, praying. If you're doing that, you'll be absolutely surprised how the Word that the Lord gave me for your week will confirm, stretch, broaden the vision, but empower you to have passion to go for it. And that's why the $2.99 is, I think that word of the week is so important. So I want to thank you anyway. And the $2.99 helps us do what we do and helps us to be able to communicate in the midst of all the cancel culture and stuff. We get to bring good news that's anointed specifically for you and your walk and your family to live safe and prosper. And most of all, enjoy the presence of the Lord.
That's good stuff. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. We will hopefully see you in person or online for Yom Kippur and the rest of the fall feast in just a few days. We'll see you later.